when Callahan asked me to speak tonight, I was trying to think of who is the group that I'm talking to, and I thought, well, this is my peer group. We have a lot in common. We grew up at about the same time, and we probably had some similar experiences growing up. We come from the same area, and I am probably not the only one here who has had people say to me many times, "You're the first person I ever met from South Dakota." And some of you probably remember when Sioux Falls pretty much ended at Kiwanis and 43rd Street. And I was in college back then. How many of you remember when KXRB radio came on the air in February 1969? That's when I was at Augustana, and I was just wishing I could get finished with school so I could get on my life, on with my life. And I know some of you were probably in Vietnam at the time, wishing you could come home so you could get on with your life. So I enlisted in the Navy after I graduated from Augustana in 72. I got my commission as an ensign in the Navy in 1975 and became an aircraft maintenance officer in 1978. So I traveled around the world and had like 11 different homes, houses that I lived in, and finally ended up in Washington, D.C., where I retired from the Navy in 2004. And Callahan asked me to say a little about what's the difference between, or what the transition is from being on active duty in Washington, D.C. to being retired in Sioux Falls. And there is a lot to do in Washington, D.C., and so much to see. And you definitely see your taxpayer dollars at work with all the memorials and the monuments and all the different places you can go and the volunteer work. When I was stationed there the first time in the mid-90s, one of my volunteer jobs was at the White House staff answering the president's mail. And that was really interesting because then I could see what the pulse of the nation was to read the letters from ordinary Americans, not something that was sent through the media. So it was letters like, "President Clinton, you should wear sweatpants when you run because you don't look very good in shorts." And when the federal government was shut down, somebody wrote a letter that said, "Just sign the bill, and let's get on with it." And that was pretty interesting. I was on President Clinton's Christmas card list for several years and got invited to the Easter egg rolls at the White House and different things, like different events like that. So there are all kinds of things to do there, and I never understood why people complain about wishing they could be someplace else, because I've always believed in, if I have to be someplace, I might as well have a good time while I'm there and take advantage of all the opportunities. And in 1996, I went over to Annapolis to the academy where the Naval Institute was having an annual meeting because three of my heroes were speaking then. And I call them my heroes because I thought they made choices based upon what they thought was right, and their decisions were for the good of the country, not for their personal gain. And that was Senator John McCain, who was former Secretary of Navy Jim Webb, and Chief of Naval Operations Mike Borda. And I was really excited about hearing John McCain speak because he had a reputation for being such a good sense of humor, and his academy days were not something to write home about, so I thought he'd tell some really good stories, but he didn't. He was just focused on whatever political issue he was working on at the time, and he just read his speech about that. What I learned from that is, if you want to win people over to your argument, well, then you better talk to them and don't just read them a speech, because I thought he could have done a whole lot better there. And then when Jim Webb spoke, I was mesmerized. He just he was so good that I didn't even think about taking notes for the report I was going to write for my command, so I had to buy the tape of the speech afterwards so I could listen to it again, because it was just really good. And then when Admiral Mike Borda spoke, he talked about how his goal was to set up some kind of mentor program in the Navy, how he thought every sailor should have somebody you could go to and talk to. And obviously he didn't have that for himself, because it was about 3 weeks later that he went into the backyard of his house at the Navy Yard and shot himself in the chest. So I went to his memorial service at Washington, the National Cathedral, and several weeks later my parents came to town to visit. So I took them out to Arlington National Cemetery, and we went out to find Admiral Borda's grave. He was Mom's hero, because we met him several years ago at a Waves reunion in San Diego, and she liked the fact that he started out at the very bottom of the ranks and had risen to the very top, and she was waiting for him to run for president so she could vote for him. So we were walking through the cemetery to get to his grave, and Dad couldn't walk very far, so he had to stop and rest every now and then. And some car drove by, and some young guy asked us where we were going, if we'd like a ride. And I said, well, yeah, we're going to see Admiral Borda's grave. And he said, well, I know where that is. I'll take you there. So we got in his car, and he brought us over there. And then he got out of the car, and he just sat on the hillside over there. And I wondered why he didn't go to his destination. So then we started walking back to the front gate, and here he came again and asked us if we wanted a ride. So we got in his car, and I knew that people can't drive at Arlington National Cemetery unless they have family members there. So I asked him, did he have somebody in his family who was there? And he said, yeah, he's my dad. And I said, Mike Borda is your dad? And he said, yes. So, I mean, those are the kinds of amazing things that can happen. And at that time, I was waiting for the results of the captain selection board to come out, because it would affect my orders. And I did get selected for captain, and I went to Japan for 3 years, and I went to Los Angeles for 3 years, and then I went back to Washington, D.C. again for my toilet tours. I'm the Naval Inspector General staff of the Washington Navy Yard. So finally made it to London, England, and went to Hawaii one more time and a few other places before I retired. And I did not want to retire from the Navy. It had been my life for 32 years, and I was married to the Navy, and we treated each other really well all that time, but I knew my time was up. So I'd already been planning my retirement career. I wanted to write books to be an author, and I've been writing magazine articles and newspaper articles for about 10 years. And while I was over in Japan, I had written two memoirs and published them in Los Angeles. And the first one was a farm in the Highwood about growing up on a farm by Clear Lake and going to a one-room country school. And in 1963, you know, President Kennedy's assassination, something that we all here remember. What really surprised me is that men enjoyed reading that book. And I thought, why would men want to read about a 12-year-old girl? But it's because they could relive all the memories of their childhood, because I talked about butchering chickens and slinging hay bales into the barn and picking rocks and trying to find cattle in a blizzard and all this. And the Buell County Sheriff told me, there's only one thing wrong with your book. And I said, yeah. And he said, it's too short. When are you going to write the sequel? And, well, certainly wasn't writing about high school or college, but I had written my second one, which was called Navy Green Shirt. It began when I went to maintenance officer school in 78, and I ended it when I became captain in 1997. And I'd written that kind of to encourage people to have confidence, to say that whatever you want to do, you can do it if you work at it, stick with it. And also there were things that had happened that I got a chance to express my opinion about, you know, things like the Hook 91 and a variety of other scandals that the Navy had had over the years that I could say what I thought about of those. And it also showed the change in culture over the years, especially alcohol. I can remember when I was young enlisted going with the guys to the ACDC club for lunch and drinking a few beers and watching the strippers and then going back to work. And then when I was a young lieutenant as a maintenance officer in the detachment, I'd step over the bodies of the pilots on the floor as they were sleeping off their hangovers waiting for their flight. But at my captain's wedding down party in 1997, I realized that it was perfectly okay now, even for macho men, to drink pot instead of alcohol. And aviators considered it poor head work to drink and drive. And I thought, what a change I've seen in my years in the Navy. Of course, by that time, even a DWI rest was, you're out of here. You know, that was the end of your career. So people were a little more careful. After I did those two books, that was enough about me. I wrote the biography of country music singer Farron Young. That's what I worked on in Washington, D.C. and Maryland after I retired. Finished that one and published it, and then I wrote the biography of Marty Robbins. And by the time, by 2010, my daughters and I had been talking for a while about moving back to South Dakota, but we hadn't really done anything about it. And then that year, they would both be attending Great Plains Lutheran High School in Watertown, and I thought, it makes no sense for me to be sitting here in Maryland and buying plane tickets for my daughters to go to South Dakota to go to school. So I found a realtor here in Sioux Falls, and I said, I'm looking for a house, and she sent me some of the different houses that I liked. So I assigned my brother and sister to go find me a house. So they came to Sioux Falls from Clear Lake and looked around and picked out a house for me, and I bought it. And we moved here in July 2010. And one thing that really surprised me about being here in Sioux Falls is all the military activity and the fact that I got to wear my uniform again. In the 6 years that I had been retired, the only time I put on my uniform was like three times on Veterans Day to go to my daughter's school and give a speech. And then I come back here, and there's even an opportunity to wear my mess dress uniform. And I spent $125 to update my medals on my dinner dress jacket. And I got involved with the VFW and the Funeral Honor Guard, so I put on my Navy uniform and go out to the cemeteries and present the flag to the families of Navy veterans, and done different speeches and master ceremonies. And then I was asked if I'd get involved with the Battleship Memorial, because they needed a captain, because Captain Dave Whitty was 85 years old, and he was looking to retire from that job pretty soon. And I said, well, I'm an Airedale. Do you want me in charge of a battleship? And they said, yeah. So I've gotten involved in that. It's really great being home in South Dakota again. It's so nice being back here. It's good to be home. And I would just like to close by saying to all of you, in case some of you haven't heard it yet, welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you, Captain. Got that uniform on. You're in charge of the battleship. You can call it Captain.